The Copenhagen interpretation contradicts common sense. All that exists before we open the box is a probability. As soon as we open the box, the wave function collapses and we are left with the single event, the cat is dead or the cat is alive. Until we opened the box, it was neither dead nor alive.
The many worlds interpretation of the same events is that in some universes the cat is dead, in other universes the cat is alive. Neither interpretation satisfies human common sense or intuition. The more macho physicists don't care. What matters is that the mathematics work and the predictions are experimentally fulfilled. Most of us are too wimpish to follow them. We seem to need some sort of visualization of what is really going on. I understand, by the way, that Schrödinger originally proposed his cat thought experiment in order to expose what he saw as the absurdity of the Copenhagen interpretation.
The biologist Lewis Wolpert believes that the queerness of modern physics is just the tip of the iceberg. Science in general, as opposed to technology, does violence to common sense. Here's a favourite example. Every time you drink a glass of water, the odds are good that you will imbibe at least one molecule that passed through the bladder of Oliver Cromwell. It's just elementary probability theory. The number of molecules per glassful is hugely greater than the number of glassfuls in the world. So every time we have a full glass, we are looking at a rather high proportion of the molecules of water that exist in the world. There is, of course, nothing special about Cromwell or bladders. Haven't you just breathed in a nitrogen atom that was once breathed out by the third iguanodon to the left of the tall cycad tree?
Aren't you glad to be alive in a world where not only is such a conjecture possible, but you are privileged to understand why? And publicly explain it to somebody else, not as your opinion or belief, but as something that they, when they've understood your reasoning, will feel compelled to accept. Maybe this is an aspect of what Carl Sagan meant when he explained his motive in writing The Demon-Haunted World, Science as a Candle in the Dark.
Not explaining science seems to me perverse. When you're in love, you want to tell the world. This book is a personal statement reflecting my lifelong love affair with science.
The evolution of complex life, indeed its very existence in a universe obeying physical laws, is wonderfully surprising, or would be but for the fact that surprise is an emotion that can exist only in a brain which is the product of that very surprising process. There is an anthropic sense, then, in which our existence should not be surprising. I'd like to think that I speak for my fellow humans in insisting, nevertheless, that it is desperately surprising. Think about it. On one planet, and possibly only one planet in the entire universe, molecules that would normally make nothing more complicated than a chunk of rock gather themselves together into chunks of rock-sized matter of such staggering complexity that they are capable of running, jumping, swimming, flying, seeing, hearing, capturing and eating other such animated chunks of complexity, capable in some cases of thinking and feeling, and falling in love with yet other chunks of complex matter. We now understand essentially how the trick is done, but only since 1859. Before 1859, it would have seemed very, very odd indeed. Now, thanks to Darwin, it is merely very odd. Darwin seized the window of the Burka and wrenched it open, letting in a flood of understanding whose dazzling novelty and power to uplift the human spirit perhaps had no precedent, unless it was the Copernican realization that the Earth was not the center of the universe.
Tell me,
the great 20th century philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein once asked a friend,
why do people always say it was natural for man to assume that the sun went round the earth rather than that the earth was rotating?
His friend replied,
well, obviously, because it just looks as though the sun is going round the earth.
Wittgenstein responded,
well, what would it have looked like if it had looked as though the earth was rotating?
I sometimes quote this remark of Wittgenstein in lectures, expecting the audience to laugh. Instead, they seem stunned into silence. In the limited world in which our brains evolved, small objects are more likely to move than large ones, which are seen as the background to movement. As the world rotates, objects that seem large because they are near, mountains, trees and buildings, the ground itself, all move in exact synchrony with each other and with the observer, relative to heavenly bodies such as the sun and stars. Our evolved brains project an illusion of movement onto them rather than the mountains and trees in the foreground.